Welcome to Connected, the podcast from the Embassy of Rwanda in Washington, D.C. Today, we're honored to welcome Mr. Robert Kirkland, a seasoned corporate leader now serving with Amazon Finance in the North America Stores Division. His career has also spanned leadership roles at Stanley Black & Decker, Cisco Foods, and PepsiCo. Most recently, Mr. Kirkland traveled to Rwanda as part of a business delegation. In this conversation, he shares his reflections from that visit and how seeing Rwanda firsthand offers a perspective you simply can't get from the headlines. Mr. Kirkland, warm welcome. We're glad to have you with us today. Do you want to add something to the introduction I just gave?
Sure. Well, again, good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. My name, again, is Rob Kirkland. I am a resident of Katy, Texas, which is a city that sits about 30 miles outside of the downtown heart of the city of Houston. I've been a Texas resident three times. This latest stint has been for 11 years, but I am originally from Virginia. And so I have traveled the country extensively, both growing up as the child of a government service worker, then as a military service member on active duty, and of course, most recently as a member of corporate America, to which I today work for Amazon in our finance function within the North America Stores Division, but previous stints include Stanley Black & Decker out of Baltimore, Maryland, Cisco Food Services out of Houston, Texas, and that's what originally brought me here, and PepsiCo for 13 years at various locations to include New York and Dallas, Texas. And so very happy to be here with you today. I am a proud graduate of Johns Hopkins University Carey School of Business and Hampton University for my undergraduate, where I received a bachelor's degree in economics. And so super happy to be here this morning.
Thank you. To kick things off, what inspired you to travel to Rwanda in the first place?
Sure. So very interesting story. A very dear friend of mine, Rodney Boyd, who you know, had visited Rwanda at least four times in the last 12 months. And after his very first visit, because Rodney and I talk nearly every day, if not every other day, he had been telling me, you have to go to Rwanda. And perhaps like most people around the globe outside of Africa, my reference to Rwanda was the genocide during the 90s. And of course, during that time frame, I had just turned 30. And so I was old enough to at least understand what I was seeing in the news reels. And but beyond that, didn't have much of an introduction to Rwanda. I do, however, trust Rodney's judgment. And so when he initially had said it, it definitely sparked my interest because I had never been to Africa as a continent as a whole. And then after every visit and hearing Rodney's excitement, finally, the opportunity presented itself where I was able to go. And I honestly didn't know exactly what to expect going there. But what I can tell you coming out of there is that I was blown away. It exceeded my expectations, both from the standpoint of returning to Africa as a Black American, never having been to the continent before, but knowing that's where my people originally came from. And just to be able to see Rwanda and the recovery and the atonement and just the sheer friendliness of the people was beyond my expectation.
That makes sense. You also mentioned earlier that before coming, your main reference point for Rwanda was the genocide. That's a powerful starting point. After seeing the country firsthand, how did that picture shift for you?
Yes, because it is at the center of every conversation that now I evangelize to my friends outside of Rodney they have never been to Rwanda, which is nearly all of them, but never been to Africa as well, which is most of them. You know, that was 30 years ago, so it was quite some time.
What I landed and saw was,
again, beyond my expectation. First off, upon arriving, and I videoed the descent of the plane into Kigali, in the bright lights of the city just showing up, it even further sparked my excitement on landing in the city. And then, of course, once we had landed and I went through customs, just the sheer welcoming spirit of the people working in the airport and everyone there asking me, is this your first time to Rwanda? And of course, my answer was yes. This is your first time in Africa, brother. And my answer being yes. Everyone was like, brother, welcome home. I'm actually getting goosebumps right now just telling you this. You cannot anticipate what that feels like as a Black American again. And by the way, just so you know, 58 years old, I walked around this God's green earth for 58 years, never having gone home. You can't anticipate what that's going to feel like, but immediately you felt like you were at home. So first off, the people, I guess, is my overarching point. Incredibly welcoming. And then as you drive from the airport to the hotel, and I stayed at the Marriott Kigali, to see the city. And I came in during the evening hours. And so there wasn't the hustle and bustle that I woke up the next day and, you know, were able to see once I went out. But to see the people on the street and how beautiful the city was and how clean the city was. Not that I anticipated it was going to be dirty, but many U.S. cities are not necessarily clean, right? Was just amazing. And, you know, the topography was different than I thought. The rolling hills of Kigali reminded me of San Francisco. It just was a really welcoming experience to start out with.
Sounds like you had an amazing experience. Mr. Kirkland, before we started recording, you mentioned meeting many people during your visit. Tell us about that. What stood out to you most from those interactions?
Yeah, before I get to specifics around, specific opportunities and individuals, I just wanted for a second to just highlight, you know, 30 years removed from a genocide, how a country's people could atone and move forward and be excited about the future of a country. Most countries would not be able to do this. And Rwandans need to understand that they are a special people. Because most people, and Rodney likes to say this, I can't claim authorship to this particular perspective. Most people would be more so concerned about extracting revenge or holding a grudge or whatever have you. The Rwandan people had literally done an about face, to use the military terms, given that I was former military, and moved forward to rebuild their country. And in the excitement around the opportunity to make it a better place is beyond reproach there. So I just want to make sure that I made that point, because that was one of the most impressionable things to me while I was there. Now, moving forward, to answer your question more specifically, we had the opportunity to visit ALX, and we had a chance to meet several young entrepreneurs that had business opportunities created by themselves that really got me energized. Because within the space of about an hour, hour and a half that we were at ALX, you got a chance to hear some very, very young people, many of which are younger than my adult children, putting together very thoughtful ideas to make their country better and to, you know, provide employment opportunities for their countrymen. One of particular note was a young lady who, and her name escapes me, so yeah, I'll have to apologize, but who had started a courier company where travelers would carry items based on their destination across the entire continent of Africa. And essentially, it was like an Airbnb model for delivery within the continent. And it was just so simple, but yet so innovative. And she already started, and the initial results were very good. And so she was just at a point of scale. Well, that story was a story for about five different other companies that were pitching their idea for potential angel investors, to which Rodney and I kind of served at. And we're now going back from that experience and talking about how can we help out? Because beyond, you know, the investment opportunity, there's the goodwill opportunity of actually helping some of these young folks live a better life. And so it was really, really good.
Interesting. From those discussions, or even just what you observed, what kinds of investment or partnership opportunities do you think U.S. businesses should be paying more attention to?
Yes. Yes. I think there are several opportunities that avail themselves within your country. One, and I'll start with, only because I'm in the tech space, Rwanda, both from our visits to the University of Rwanda, which the Vice Chancellor was very nice to spend a material amount of time with us, so, you know, kudos to him, as well as our visit to ALU. We spent quite a bit of time with a number of students and faculty and administration at ALU. Rwanda should not be mistaken as a country who's trying to catch up as it relates to artificial intelligence or, you know, Gen AI or anything technology related. Rwanda is out front in the tech scene. And so if I were in a U.S. or international company looking to invest, that would be one sector I would immediately go to because the opportunity is there. You couple that with the fact, answering your previous question, the entrepreneurial spirit within that country, and some really special things can happen in that sector. So that's one. Two, we got an opportunity to visit a health clinic in one of the neighborhoods in Kajali. And the administrator of the health clinic, who was working in conjunction with Sand Technologies, was talking about the network that has been built across the country as it relates to healthcare. And the model is something that I think every nation probably strives for, in that every corner of the country is being brought into connection via the network to ensure that from a resource perspective, from a triage and knowledge perspective, has a link to a larger institution, a larger healthcare network in Rwanda. And so healthcare would be one. And of course, perhaps closing the answer out, obviously Rwanda, as you know, is very rich in terms of natural resource. And while I didn't get the opportunity to kind of venture my way to the countryside, certainly understand the immense opportunity as it relates to natural resource. So yet another opportunity for businesses.
That's a great point. So now that you're back home and have had a little time to reflect, how has this trip influenced the way you think about Rwanda or even Africa more broadly?
Yes.
Can I offer professional and personal?
Well, I'll start with personal. Well, let me answer your question, then I'll get to the personal. So I turned about a week ago, week and a half at this particular point. I literally landed on Friday back in Houston, and on that Monday morning flew to Seattle because I had to be in Seattle for some meetings. I found time within the first day in the office in Seattle to meet with my boss to literally ask him, what are the opportunities for me to potentially work in Africa with Amazon? And of course, he explained the kind of org structure that we have and how we're looking at Africa as a growth opportunity and what the existing opportunities may look like. But the overarching point is that just based on that one visit, I would absolutely welcome an opportunity, whether with Amazon or, you know, another opportunity, although I do plan to retire at Amazon, to go and live there and work there and get the true immersion experience of like living there. Absolutely would be on the table for me just after one visit to Kigali. So thank you, Rwanda, for that. On a personal level, I mentioned to you a little bit earlier, I'm 58 years old. And I told my wife, the only regret I had after that visit was that it took me 58 years to return home. I said, for my 19-year-old son, that will not happen. And so I'm already planning a return visit to Kigali with my wife and children because they need to experience what I experienced on that first visit.
I can see how that would stay with you. So let's say another U.S. business leader comes up to you and asks, why Rwanda? What would you tell them based on your experience?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, ease of entry is there and is deliberate and very consciously deliberate by the government to, you know, not present a lot of roadblocks to businesses wanting to invest in the country. We had the opportunity to spend time at the RDB and very proudly, many of the members touted the fact that you could start a business in Rwanda in 6 hours. And come to find out, after talking to an American who set up a business in Rwanda just a month ago, that statement is very true. And so the first thing I would say to them is the ease of entry into the business world is one, it is very, very advantageous for businesses. So that's one. Number two, and perhaps Rwanda's best resource, is their people. And so you have a working class of folks that are able and willing and ready to work hard in order to, you know, do no different than you and I, which is improve the welfare of their families. I saw from the street sweepers all the way to the folks that we met at the highest level of business at the RDB, and in between, nothing but hardworking people there. People who earnestly wanted to show up on time, do their job, and again, you know, go home and take care of their families. So, you know, ease of entry, strong workforce. And then I think the third thing I would say is Rwanda's position on the continent, and I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, being as central as it is, if there is expansion to your original plan that goes across the continent, I don't know that you could be in a country that is, you know, is best situated geographically in order to get to other places to make that expansion plan realistic.
That's a strong message. I'm curious, though, when you landed back in the U.S. and started sharing your trip with family and friends, how did you describe Rwanda to them?
I would tell you, I would describe it as me telling you, like, I was ready to take them to Kigali as soon as I hit the ground here, to turn around and go back. I just really wanted them to have the same experience that I had. I spoke about the people, much like I've talked to you about this morning. I talked to them about the tremendous opportunity that not just Kigali, but Rwanda as a whole has in front of it, with a bright future that country has. But again, I go back to the point of, you know, I just want to impress upon them how important it is Blacks for us to go to Africa to form our own opinion of what our home land was really all about, how important that is. In some ways, and this might sound a little hokey, but coming back, I felt more complete as an individual than I did before. And I didn't know it before because I had never been. So before, I would have said, hey, let's go on vacation, much like we did earlier this year. Let's go to Tokyo. And so we went to Japan. Or let's go to Cabo. So we went to Mexico. Now my reference is, if we're going to go on vacation, our first consideration is Rwanda, is Ghana, is Egypt, is, you know, potentially Cape Town, South Africa. No more will those places not be on that list.
That's beautifully said. Building on your firsthand experience, how would you finish this sentence? Rwanda is a place where?
Rwanda is a place where immense opportunity is available. And again, whether we were just, you know, because Rodney and I had an opportunity to just spend time just on the streets of Kigali, what the feeling I got was, man, just the promise of tomorrow. I mean, you just cannot get past that. You cannot go there and not sense that the people have an immense amount of pride about the direction of the country. They have a tremendous amount of pride about, you know, me coming there as my first trip to Africa. Yeah, it's just a place of great opportunity, and more people should know about it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I also thought, you know, Rwanda is a place where you would go and have great food. Rwanda is a place where you would go and find an immense amount of just beautiful physical beauty in terms of the landscape, how green of a place it is, right? And then, of course, I also thought, excuse me, to answer this question by saying, and perhaps I will change my answer and say this, beautiful people, just beautiful, beautiful, just welcoming, polite, kind, and beautiful, physically beautiful people. Yeah. So there you have it. I kind of cheated and gave you four answers.
Wonderful. This has been such a rich conversation, Mr. Kirkland, and I've enjoyed hearing your reflections. Before we wrap up, is there anything we haven't touched on that you'd like to add?
Sure. Well, listen, again, I really want to thank you all for the high level of preparation that you provided. It really made it easy for me to have had the questions in advance, to think about my answers, and hopefully my answers weren't too, you know, they didn't run along too long, but I mean, it was just an amazing experience, and I want to say, you know, thank you for this opportunity, but perhaps even more so, thank you to your country again for hosting me in the way in which it did. And I will certainly be back, as I said to you before, along with my family. And anything else that you all need in the future, consider me family to be able to deliver that for you. So thank you.
Mr. Kirkland, thank you so much for sharing your reflections with us. It's been such a thoughtful and inspiring conversation. Your journey from the US to Rwanda and the perspectives you've shared today really highlight the power of firsthand experience in reshaping narratives and building new bridges. To our listeners, thank you for joining us on Connected, the podcast from the Embassy of Rwanda in Washington, D.C. Stay connected.